interrupting the current neo-uronial, climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 513. And where the redneck dentist doesn't turn left, I don't use brakes. Because this is the most jam-packed minute in radio for 2 continuous hours break-free. And thank you very much for your donations to keep the servers going and all these services. Bosscast going through and getting all this information out. All the folks that are helping to spread the word Behind the Woodshed. Again, silence is not an option in an occupied territory. With international law, if you're an occupied people, you got to throw the occupier out. This is not something you cannot work at. You have to figure out how to do that, too. Normally, if you're occupied, you either don't know it or it's prevailing odds against you, and you got to figure out a lot better way to go. And so we have another week or two here, maybe the last week yet, for donation month. We ask for whatever you can do. Go over to the support RLM webpage and go down, roll down to the PayPal link, and if you could, donate what you can. That gets the bills paid and allows me to be break free. I don't know any many other places that will that actually do this. In some regard, I know some people may not do ads, but we don't have any rejections at all. And boy, how much more hours would I have to put in if I had a break 20 minutes every hour just to pay the bills? So thank you for all your support to date, and thank you for that to come. It's not only this month, we only ask this month, but you're totally free to jump in there and support RLM. However, I think there's quite a few different ways to support. Like I said, spread the word for me. For my interest is to spread the word, get people to understand we're not helpless. We're in an occupied territory. We're not helpless. And we're looking like we're helpless. We can complain, but just complaining, even just knowing of the occupation is not enough. Again, the rule is, under international law, an occupied people must throw off the occupation. An occupation isn't just military. We're watching quite a few of them. It's many elements to an occupation and many parties that could be involved. And in some regard, some of it shows it melds itself back together to be this thing we can actually point out is international, it's global. And then, anomalously, it looks like it's the U.S. military on top of it. In the total spectrum dominance, they talked about committing to the world its defense for itself, essentially. So, we have to get the word. I have to get the word out. That's not enough. You have to take your hand to the tiller of the ship of state and change it. And certainly we want to do that peacefully. We don't want to resort to the Second Amendment, although we have the right to alter or abolish. My thought, and it could be just my opinion, I haven't seen any better observation, if we're not able to do the peaceful grounds or the peaceful way, make that record that there's just everything else that we've done is futile, and now we have to go there. Until we get a mindset that can do that pre-formality, we really don't have an ability, a mindset to do it. We're going to stay fractured and fomented by outside influences. That's the whole trick. And they're getting it. These guys, they are getting that. I don't care what part I look at. We've got too much, even though people say they don't like and don't appreciate and don't trust the government, they don't respond against it. And again, it's simple. In an occupied territory, if you don't throw off the occupier, they get to occupy you. So again, thank you for your donations. Really do appreciate it. Allows me to go so far year to year. Been a little difficult to stay going this last year, but hopefully we're going to move that along and things will change. And so it seems to me we were talking about one of the UFO things last week and also what's going on. They want us to eat crickets, and then the crickets is what they devour. And the outlier idea. Maybe not so outlier. If you do some research, it's kind of hard to disprove some of it, but I don't buy into that yet so much. It's still up to us. We the people can still do stuff. And Kobe Swindle gave us, each one of us could do something, and a lot of us didn't. And so I don't know what more to say about that. We need to step up within our own right. But getting over to the UFO, all these ideas, aliens, the idea of reptilians, the idea that they want you to eat the crickets, and you are the crickets if you don't respond. The reptilians are the occupier, and you have to throw that off. You don't want to be a cricket. You don't want to be just thinking that the summer is nice and warm, and there's nothing for us to do but then to squeak a little legs together and make a little bitty noise. But reptilians eat insects, don't they? So let's starve the reptilians. Let's kill the crickets. Let's just stop being crickets and they starve. Let's start responding a lot better. Let's attack the WHO, the World Hoax Organization, the broker of pharma, the P's are silent. Let's stop that. We have the ability to do that. There's some things coming up I'll get to here, real quick. A lot to cover again every week. A lot of things to cover. Now, we have an input. We can start giving the knowledge to our so-called representatives as one aspect of what needs to be done. You don't have to remain silent, and you don't have to be subject to this. You can raise the intelligence of the whole society by presenting what you know in the proper way. Again, it's not just knowing something. It's how do you affect that knowledge into the world. And hopefully we look at it and we see the proper course, either through the minefields we're in or we just don't get in the minefield and we say you can't go there. Then we show, not our opinion, we show the black and white how that's the case. What am I talking about, the black and white? It's the law. It's the law that nobody seems to use. It's the law that people denounce that doesn't exist, that think that they're so frustrated and it's all futile. And it is, but except to the point you make a record. And when you make the record and you have a future potential of action and right of action, more importantly, you kind of look at what Russia's doing. I tell you, watch Russia. Watch the big nations right now. They're starting to find the bully in the world, and they're not having it anymore. And you're watching them come to terms with that and actually what to do. And that's a slower process, and that takes thought, and it takes an observation, and it takes a substantial backing, a foundation to work from to substantiate that action. And at that point, it doesn't matter that the criminal, the thug, is denying that they're being a thug. It's that you are justified. You're righteous in indignation, and that becomes the embarrassment of the thug. In this case, the United States government, which is really a tragedy because the people didn't need to let it go there. Don't be silent, folks. Step up. Do what you can, even if just to pass the word around. I don't know why it's so hard in some regard to put a like. Apparently, these platforms, they require certain interaction before they'll pass the word on themselves, similar to over at Rumble and what Sound Minds does in a syndication, putting together a video of the documents I'm speaking to, and then you can pick them up as well as at the blogcaster to go read and read deeper on what interests you, either by perspective, what to understand, how to go about getting better information, and then maybe hopefully, and what I would hope, that you go and start to act upon the information in a proper way. Those proper ways are delineated in the black and white as well. And so you have that foundation. They can dismiss you as some name they call you, but ultimately they will be found out for being dismissive when you show they have an obligation and duty. Or they've taken an oath of office that we hear about, and they are breaching it. And it's the society has to come to terms with that pretty quickly. I don't know how we escape this condition. It's now known. I look at my feeds, my social media feeds. It's looking like old news to me. It's like, I've talked about all this stuff a year and a half ago. What's it all coming through again about all these harms and all these things that were going on? And, oh, look at this. And, oh, it does that. Like the COVID swindle, the jabs. Oh, look at this over here. Look at the education system. I've been talking about this stuff for over 10 years, showing exactly how they've been taking us down. Now it's news again. And so we have a little bit to go. And these are the influencers on Twitter are behind. They don't get it. They're not responding. Anything I send out, they won't respond. And that tells me that, again, I just can't take it any other way. They either are completely ignorant and profess to be a representative or some knower, a doer, or they're a control agent. And you got to be very careful on how these people are. I hesitate to throw a negative on people, but it's hard to not at least put them in the category of change agent if they're not going to respond to a real basic objective basis. In other words, when I put out something on a social media feed and I ask people to do this, put it out factually. Like, here's the law. Here's what it says you are supposed to do. It's not what you're saying. It's this thing over here. When I have someone that won't respond, they're either completely ignorant. They have no energy to go, no mind to go look and see the truth of it, or they're a change agent. They're just wasting people's time. It starts to become ego-driven. They want to be able to show how much they know instead of how much they're doing. They want to claim they're doing, and they're not doing anything either properly or effectually. Again, that's why Kobe's window is so cool, because every one of you has a way to make it effectual for you. And maybe your little ones, if you have it. than your loved ones if they'll listen. Sometimes that's more and more difficult. People find that real high. But so this whole agenda on that side comes under a global switcheroo. It'll always be a violation to the sentiments and the construction of the United States government, even in its commercial constructive capacity, if you understand that. Understand why the United States was actually made, or I say actually, if you can find the probability of what it was made for. There's an agenda to alter all of that. That's going to take away your property, your ability to get property. When they stop recognizing there's property, they don't have a property in you. You become property. You don't have a property to be protected. They don't have in the United States, don't have an obligation to compensate you. They don't have a duty to make due process. And as long as you continue to go down the path or away from what I'm saying, that you insist on that black and white, which has built into it the due process, as we see in Coby's work and the communicable disease laws of every state, every jurisdiction, even outside the United States. You should see what I'm saying about how you can protect each one of you, the listener. I said each. That would be more than one. Good. Cool. I've got double my amount of listeners here. So this agenda, this global agenda, interestingly tied back to our own military in the United States and the promoting of all that, ends up being P.T. Barnum promotion at some level. And it's easy to just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, it's just a promotion, but this is an attack, and people don't recognize that. In the reality of the world, there's evidence that it's just not the way that we're told, and a lot of us aren't that ignorant and stupid. We do see it, so it's not like I'm not talking to my listener to say, hey, you don't know. I'm saying, if you know, find a way to affect what you know. And you're going to find out soon enough. You're going to meet some resistance because the world is a crazy place. Literally, I think it's crazy. I didn't realize it as I was growing up and all the school graduates that I grew up with were this nuts. Didn't look like it then. I don't know what's happened since. But here we have interesting evidences that maybe the experts are worried too much on the wrong point and are focused on the wrong point. And that shows you maybe that they're not really interested in the truth or whatever. They're interested in their own fantasies and fairy tales, and they're willing to place themselves in a position that makes it look like they can speak for you. And again, the system is set up that if somebody speaks and they claim to speak for the rest of the class, if you will, then they get the voice and you don't. And this is what I've seen working with legislatures, working with commenting, and this is how it works. And I don't necessarily like that at all, because I believe there's a presumption of our innocence. I believe there's a presumption of the government's limited, and they're supposed to keep that boundary, that chasm between you and me and them separate, and they're supposed to honor that up front. And they don't. And that should have been a lesson to everybody, and it hasn't. And so it is supposed to be that way. And the interesting case I just read, the statements coming out of a court, older court case. You don't hear these cases, these opinions, if you opinion. They're actually quoting the law and the principles. I said, where have these cases come? Where did they go? They delineate the obligation on the government and the officials to stay a long way away from interfering with people. In the United States, anyway. We're clearly seeing the crown holdings, the queen, the king's holdings. Places like Kanukistan in the UK are totally subject, even if you thought you had a right. This is why I'm talking to you. Be careful about this free man on the land stuff. How about just go to the where you can find the black and white saying, well, you have this this obligation that the government was supposed to do, and it wasn't to be beating on you, as I've been exposing in the United States of America, where we have every state has a statutory acceptance of a land grant from Congress to put the roads and the highways into public use. And that cannot be infringed. And wherever I've asserted that, in the help of some people in the past, we get injustice in that we don't get justice, but we stop the encroachment of the so-called judiciary being able to continue, or the municipality being able to continue their cause because you do a collateral attack against them based on the rights they were duty-bound not to trespass. So it's a different speak that we do to get to the things that most people hear popularly, and I think that's another psychological operation, get you into certain terms that sound good, but they aren't really what you need to talk about. In other words, what I'm talking about is the right to use the road, or the grant of the roads, and who gets to use them, and under what condition, and under what without a regulation authority, and who has a jurisdiction, isn't anything that anybody that says right to travel would be involved with. There's a different, if you go into your state law, you realize that the road, the use of the road is a different jurisdiction. And so you have a jurisdictional challenge right there if people know what to do. But moving on, I'm not going to go through. We are on the ways and highways there in that kind of discussion, and we now transition into the tabs. And in reality, what the obligation to look at reality and understand it and not accept just what experts say, because they may have their own agenda, as Kobe Swindle told us, showed us exactly how this works. And we see an incidental problem that's showed up that kind of starts to show what we need to be paying attention. Mother Nature's pretty interesting, even beyond maybe those of us that are looking at her. Prolonged low tides see smaller canals dry up in Venice. So if you were in a dinghy in Venice, your roadway went dry, they say here. That is very interesting to me. I thought we were talking about global sea rises here just a few years ago. Sea level changes. Greta, where are you? Greta, there's a reality out here. The reports are now that the weeks of dry weather and iconic waterways of the historic city, Venice, have been left all but empty, raising concerns about the future. You think you have a right to travel now? Well, Mother Nature's going to change that on you. If you think you have a right to travel over there, it has nothing to do with the government now, does it? And this is the whole point. Interesting set of circumstances going on here. Dry winter weather and iconic waterways are dried up. Well, how? It's a lagoon to a sea, or the Adriatic, I think. The empty canals have been caused, here we go, caused, not disease, but infectious agent, caused. What's the cause? The empty canals have been caused by a series of unfortunate events, including lack of rain and a high pressure system. This combined with a full moon and a particular sea current that caused a perfect storm to perfectly dry the canals up. That's fascinating to me. A high pressure system enough to cause an airflow to move the water in the sea out into the Mediterranean and lower the level had more direct effect to sea level change than Greta or climate change or global warming or anything else we've ever heard. And it's causing a problem. And I thought that was kind of neat. Greta, what happened to anthropomorphic global warming? What happened to the carbon? Where did all this water go? We were supposed to have the ice melting, and it was supposed to be raising. It's all going out. Why? It has nothing to do with anything man's doing. Mother Nature is pretty neat. The world, the Earth, is quite a fascinating system. A simple high-pressure system, something that you all probably have seen all your life, moved in, moved water away from the coast, and the canal starts to dry up. Where's your right to drive, travel there, right to drive your little canoe? I don't know. Your gondola? Yeah, it just changes immediately. No sea level rise. Where'd all that water go? We don't have flooding anywhere else. I thought that was interesting, but here. Now we start to see how scientists and scientists, where'd the ice go? Is the poles sucking the water back into a glaciers they said were melting? Greta, answer this. Well, look, no scientists are looking right at it. But here's the title, and this is what's interesting. You start reading again, as I told you. When you start looking at the terms of the psyops that are being run, you quickly get to the fact that you can read into the title. As long as the story supports it, you can quickly see that the title is consistent with explaining to you most of what's going on. The details are interesting as well, is why I read a little bit into the stories here. But scientists struggle to understand why Antarctica hasn't warmed for over 70 years, despite rise in CO2. So we're supposed to have sea level rise. We're supposed to be having melting glaciers. In this report, it actually came out before Venice, the Venice story. The scientists struggle to understand. Well, I guess they can struggle to understand, but what are they struggling? Science is just an observation. So what's the struggle? First of all, the word struggle shows that there are people with a preconception of what they're supposed to look at. That's not science. And what they're seeing and what they're witnessing proves it's not science when it's not fitting the narrative. Greta, it's not fitting the narrative. The Antarctica hasn't warmed for over 70 years despite rise in CO2. If we give all that to them, if it all happens to be the fact, it's not meeting The water from Venice is not going into an ice buildup either. They're looking for net zero. Can't find that there's anything but net zero in the world. It's balancing out. Under settled science requirements, the significant debate over the inconvenient Antarctic data is a necessity being conducted well away from the prying eyes of the mainstream media. Promoting the net zero political agenda, The Guardian recently topped up readers' alarm levels with the notion that unmanageable amounts of water will flow into the oceans. Well, they're not seeing that in Venice. If temperatures in the region rise and ice buffers vanish, and none of this was going on, as we see, we keep aware, and I'm going on a little bit long here to show you, you look around and you start finding the facts of the world are anomalous. They don't fit a narrative, and the scientists that struggle to understand are not struggling in science to notice and observe and then come up to some idea of what they think is going on. The recent paper from two climate scientists, Singh and Bolvani, accepts that Antarctica has not warmed in the last 7 decades despite an increase in atmospheric greenhouse gases. It is noted that the two polar regions, both of them, folks, not just Antarctica, present a conundrum for understanding the present day climate change, as the recent warming differs markedly from Arctic and Antarctic. So, right here, our study, this is not even a question. The water from Venice went somewhere. It didn't go into either poles. There's a net zero work, like I've said before. Whatever happens on one side of the world, opposite will likely happen somewhere other on the other side. In this case, they're happening the same. It's balanced. So where is the water from Venice going? We go back to the study. They say it's a large high-pressure system with lack of rain. How that stops the ocean, the sea down there, I don't know. However, I find it fascinating because this is what happens. You can see evidence of these wind-driven tides with hurricanes and cyclones. Depending on what side you're on, they'll draw water off the coast or they'll push it on, right? They push a big wave. A big wave will come forward on wind blowing over the surface. And then let's add what? Remember I talked about it behind the woodshed? We were in a time when the moon was as 900 years as had been closer than it had been 900 years before. The moon was in a much closer area, and it said in that story we would expect it'll be bigger extremes, actually, higher and lower tides, all happening at the same time. Yes, the perfect storm of nature coming together. Not man-made nonsense. Not the agenda coming to politically alter your life and politically occupy your life. This is another style of occupation. This is the talk in these terms because we saw as we've been walking through the last few weeks of cognitive warfare. This is what elements of it. And they have a ton of these things to overwhelm you. And as I've suggested for years, you've got to reduce the workload down to something that's you can handle and deal with. And so you've got to learn to go parse through quickly and understand where you're going to place things as they come at you so that you can stay on point and you stay to the narrow path of your objective. So I'm trying to talk about, I don't talk about these things to talk about them. This is a non-issue. This was a fairy tale that this would even be a problem. You can see in the two stories right away that there is no expert here. There is no science. And Mother Nature's got it handled. We can go quickly parse through that. Then anybody who purports to understand anything about this agenda of global warming, that gets us quickly to the UN and sustainability. All of that fails. The whole thing's based on this climate change, on anthropomorphic interference. So quickly I can see I'm dealing, if any subject matter comes before me, I know I need to go look for the root deception. And it doesn't take long to figure it out after a while. Once you start to understanding, that is directly one we can see in the news. The more covert one is this one that's got me a little more concerned now with continuity of government consideration of the last few weeks, is the military running this whole thing. It can still be that they're all taking part in the method on their individual tracks, but that you can also point that they're all melded together at one point is the disconcerting view, and we have to understand these things if we're going to respond to them, is all I can tell you. And I say the only, in the outside hope, the outlying hope, that people do start to do something more than just complain or identify or point or whatever. It is going to take more than that. However people receive that when I tell it to them, however they may accept or reject, the point is that it won't matter until we do respond much more properly. Well, first of all, at all, and then much more properly. And to respond, you have to get involved. I just mentioned Rumble and Sound Minds over syndicating the broadcast, and a lot of people are going there to watch, which is great. I really appreciate that. Sometimes I can get in and see the comments. Sometimes I can't. I don't know. Some accounts on Rumble I can get into. Sometimes I can't. But I get to see your comments there. I appreciate that. I get to see some of what your feelings are. It kind of guides my thoughts sometimes. I was able to respond to some of that. I can't respond to all of it. It depends on where I'm going to go each week. But the Rumble got involved, got into a fight, saw a problem. They engaged legally here, lawful here in a court. Rumble wins injunction against New York's online censorship law. Now, where do I get to that from scientists in Antarctica? Is this, we look inside of the global warming condition that these scientists are befuddled. They shouldn't be befuddled. It may be an amazing thing they're watching, but they shouldn't be befuddled. The befuddlement means that they have a notion in their mind as a scientist that they need to change before they relook. But we don't get that from them. No, they're trying to conform a square peg into a round hole type stuff. That's not science. No, the truth is actually more fascinating, more humbling in a way, how small mankind is relative to the system. But in the civil, what man does amongst himself, Rumble wins injunction against New York's online censorship law. It's part of the cancel culture thing that would be the extension of global warming, the attack against anybody who's a denier, a heretic. So it's not hard you start seeing to see, no matter where you go in that thing, anything attached to it has the same function to push in the agenda and force it upon people. Why, if Rumble was to have remained silent, this law in New York would have been continuing and not stopped. So kudos to Rumble for doing it. A judge has blocked the New York law to attempt to regulate hateful conduct. And when hate crime laws came in, I think lots of people saw, what is this arbitrary and capricious term, hateful? And it's been lingering. This thing is lingering, lingering, lingering. And part of the problem is the courts try to deal with it because they're supposed to be respectful of the legislature, and they just say, hey, hateful is so arbitrary and capricious, it needs to be defined by many other elements. And when you look at someone trying to write a law who's a bar association or a lobbyist for a corporation or one of these agendas that are sitting inside your system that I know of, we had to deal with it when we were doing comments to the legislature of a state to try and protect the producers from the environmental impositions and the sustainability impositions, which is a treason. That's our default proves both political parties, the Bar Association, and political agents in the government are committing treason. They agreed to that in the default. So this is not a question to me. It's all treason what we're talking about ultimately. And so you're looking at all the threads of treason. Cancel culture is one of them. Censorship is another. The government taking more of a realm of integration and putting its hand in the thing it's supposed to keep a distance to. The judges block this hateful conduct online, and they go through a discussion on how that is. The legislative package signed into law last summer was Governor Kathy Hochul's attempt to force the moderation content under nebulous terms such as hate. There you go. Hate crime, hate, that. What's that? And that's the hard part. The bill required social media networks to provide and maintain mechanisms for reporting hateful conduct in their platform. Rumble said no way. I think some other companies were involved. Foundation of Individual Rights and Expression called FIRE, FIRE, and the First Amendment legal scholar Eugene Wallach, primarily on First Amendment grounds, is what they addressed this on, and the court eventually agreed. You can read more about it. The pushback on cancel culture was a company, a platform, a social media platform, arguing that they were being interfered with incorrectly. I think there was also a discussion, the judge comes in and says the imposition of the state was a form of speech, required speech, which is prohibited. I bring this link, so if you read for that, it should open your mind on the avenues you could choose, if this is interesting, where you might find an imposition by the government, one more element that you can bring in when the government compels you to do something, it could be the compelling you to be a violation. They're not, the government's not supposed to do that. It's not just that they censor you, that they can, they're attempting the legislature. Again, the government judicial branch said the legislature and the government executive branch was wrong here. As I told you, this is their agendas, are treason. They don't call them treason in these orders. They just try to go through and promote to you that the judicial branch is organizing this up and it's supposed to be reasonable. These should never become law, in my estimation, and they should go through that judicial scrutiny first, because if we're in the United States of America, we're supposed to be limited for government. That should be the guiding principle, not that the government's sovereign in the way that most people think it is. That's my opinion. And because they're allowed to do things, we hear stories where laws sit on the books for 100 years before they're thrown down, and they were violating people, trespassing, the most basic assault on the people in common law. Anyway, Rumble stands up, wins an injunction. What's the injunction? Equity, jurisprudence. It's not at law. It's simply dealing on the right you have to protect yourself. And this, in this case, in a protected, prevailing way ahead of what the government was supposed to do. When you understand what I've been talking here and you bring this through, you may realize what I've been saying. It's a little bit more detailed to put together your cause, but you put it in a very narrow path and you put it in a place that is unassailable. Now, they still bring their nonsense dismissal. They have the rights of dismissal. That's supposed to be due process. Well, when it's a protectable interest, it's that protectable interest is supposed to be status quo. Rumble had to go to court. This is not a win for Rumble in my mind. They had to go protect themselves from an encroachment by the government that the government in two branches should have known better, in my estimation. It took a judiciary to stop it. I'm glad that they're there, even though I would be dismissive of the actual quality of the judiciary, the Bar Association members anymore. But at some point, I also feel that there's this embarrassment that goes along. We got to be careful how down the road we kick this over, kick the can, and or how far down we kick it over to where it's obvious we're violating people. But not so obvious, and something that's a notice to y'all here, the FBI's most controversial surveillance tool is under threat. So we have censorship on the one hand, then you have surveillance that starts to work as a form of censorship. This is also supposed to be a violation. It's not supposed to impose upon you as the people to be a threat to you, but the FBI, most controversial tool, is under a threat. We keep bringing this thing back. All this subject matter also goes back to the 9/11 imposition where they went and done it against us. And I said, by 2020, are we going to have the hindsight to look back to notice what's coming in Kobe swindle? No one seemed, not no one, most everybody didn't. And so we are still living with this condition. What's the notice to you? This section of the law, the FBI, is utilizing under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the so-called crown jewel of United States intelligence, grants the government the ability to intercept the electronic communications of overseas targets who are unprotected by the Fourth Amendment. And also, if there's some happenstance that you happen to be involved, even though you're not the target, they can collect that too. That section of the law is underneath the revision, it's underneath the re-upment, if you will. They're going to have to, it'll sunset here real shortly. For those of you that are involved in the surveillance issues, the data mining that's going on by the United States under cover of this act, you have the ability to enter in and make your comments about how this act needs to let it go sunset. Just let it die. And this is your chance to do that. And we're going to eliminate one of the things that causes another cancel type of culture going on in the fact that you start to just, you self-censor. Because you don't want to go do things, you may say, oh, heck with it, and you may live that way, and you may speak out. But just that's the way the focus of your time is that you say, I'm going to say it, notwithstanding that, I don't care. The point is that still allows them to do what they're doing, and your little resistance is really no resistance at all. So you have an ability to go, and you want to have a representative, you believe in that. This is where you need to step up. And if you don't, these representatives may actually allow it if they'll re-up it. And if we get rid of it, we get rid of a major surveillance tool, as they say right in there, the FBI surveillance tool. And I've shown you over years how they make stuff up, so you can't even just say it doesn't bother. It's not about me. I don't do anything wrong. How many stories have we heard? And then look what they did with Kobe Swindle. They make it up. You can't even not have the stuff, and they blame you. In fact, we'll see some of that coming down. They blame you for being asymptomatic, right? On something that was a fraud that they imposed. You don't have to do anything wrong anymore. They just create an environment, and they do their fairy tale and then throw you in it. And your denial won't be enough. In fact, your denial allows them to become more empowered because they're doing it for the public good. And if you get understand what I just said there, you'll likely understand why I say in an occupying territory, in an occupied state, you cannot remain silent, and you have to properly respond, not just respond in any way. Now, where the FBI is supposed to be surveilling, the NSA is supposed to be surveilling, and they have this section that looks on it, and they will claim that it's doing, it's saving people's lives, it's stopping terrorism while the United States goes and is a terrorist. And this is what the importance of this bombing, this Nord Stream bombing is about, if you can pin that on the United States. And it's coming, I think. If not, the governments are done with it, folks. They're not going to come up with it anymore. The United States is going to look really bad here. The FBI using it against its own people, the United States government and the FBI is a terrorist. That's why they're doing it this way. And with all that surveillance, they can't stop. An Israeli hacker group reportedly carried out election interference ops in more than 30 countries. Now, the FBI is supposed to be this global, it's like Interpol. It's a global agency now. Again, I don't know how they did all this lawfully, unless they threw away the law. And it's up to the people to bring that back. And it's up to the people to extend their voice to the so-called representative to shut this kind of extension down. Going and making comments or to someone who's in a seated decision to stop the re-upment of the 702 section is going to be a big deal. So maybe some effort needs to be placed in there from a listener here that can start it, get a group of people. It doesn't take everybody, it just takes a nice qualified people group. But they're going to look at you. They're not going to look at this Israeli operator. Went to 30 countries. The FBI should be looking at all of this then. No. They want to do the FISA stuff. The newly discovered group of hackers allegedly exploited social media vulnerabilities, tweaked bots, and created fake news. The head of the group is an Israeli man alleged to be a former special forces operative. Is military not anywhere in this world? That it's interfering everywhere? That the FBI hasn't... Even if they just found it, I don't think the FBI found this guy at all because they knew it was there and happening. And we hear nothing about it. They focus in on you, and they don't focus in on this stuff. Well, here we have the pipsqueak over in the Middle East back as an operative in the world. Interfering with democracy, so-called, as they promote themselves as democratic society. All lies. All of it's lies. I won't go through the story. You can read it. It's across the board what the FBI did not find in this newly discovered group. It's not newly discovered. They've known all this stuff, especially when they promote information dominance, isn't it? The military would have been working with these folks. If you look through, as I've been talking about the information warfare, you see these stories. Cognitive warfare here is, in my mind, it's written all over this story. Newly discovered? No, the government's involved with it. You're not going to hear that. But they didn't stop that. No, they come after people utilizing the 702 chapter. It's time to get rid of that, like a lot of other things. It's going to take a ton of work to get this back. I mean, I don't know what more to say. The momentum and the direction and how far they've gone down the wrong path is going to take a lot of work to get it done. We're not going to do it on social media. We're not going to do it by just having a complaint amongst ourselves either. As we now move in, this becomes more, I'm moving more into this continuity of government idea along from the last couple of weeks when I saw this court case. And this is not definitive. This is just a sense that I have, that we see the earmarks of all this stuff happening. Because if you understand that they use national security and the knowledge of national security things to be protected, Wonder 702 was part of that. They just say, well, this is a national emergency stuff. This is national state secret. They were able to shut the door. That's another reason when I saw this story, it became important to my mind or they can't get an Israeli hacker group with a special operative that goes 30 countries and destroys their democracy through elections and a lot of other things. It wasn't just that. They can't see, the FBI can't see that with all their power. But they can see you is evidence that you live in an occupied territory and all these foreign operatives are working together, foreign and domestic, nobody's stopping it. Then we see domestic potential problems here. That is a hat tip to possibly this continuity government. United States Supreme Court declines to hear Wikimedia Foundation challenge to NSA mass surveillance. Declined to hear it. You got to read a little bit about this. The state came in and said state's secrets privilege, and the Supreme Court shut that down. The Supreme Court did not look at whether or not and investigate whether or not or return for investigation, remand back to the prior court, whether or not the assertion of state secrets was a fraud, which ought, and every fraud is vitiates everything. That they're not looking into that. And they have an ability for a judge to be looking into that if they don't make it public. It explains to me that we have a different problem within the courts, not just, oh, they're corrupt. There's an additional thing that they allowed without review of a state secret assertion without test. Is an indication to me that this is a hat tip to continuity government, which is a state secret. You're not going to be told it's functioning, which is what got my mind thinking about through all this fiasco with the balloons turned to UFOs and alien invasion and threat and all this nonsense, that the imposition of continuity government back in a year later after 9/11, when we heard that the leader, so-called leaders, went into their bunkers, that never really got removed. And that would have been a state secret that it hadn't. And so essentially we're under military rule anyway, and that started to make more sense how the law has stopped functioning. Unless some commandant somewhere says so, it's not going to function. And they allow, when you start reading about this, in an occupied territory of a military occupation, when you find out the military commandant will order the local civil authority to function normally and look normally, or else they function normally. You can't tell. And this is the Libra code. You start looking through how it actually what works and how this works out, and then go look at what happens in the world, in the history, in the laws, in the things that went on, and the words start making a whole lot more sense. They make a lot better truth. But when I saw this determination that the court would not hear a review on the mere assertion of a state secret, that really put a different context on me a bit. Relative to, this is an element of what a judiciary would do to not make it known to the public, a state secret of a continuity government. Their government has been overthrown underneath the color of a national security threat. And I told you early on, like Operation Hindsight 2020, I explained that anything that the government, they've learned how to use national security as their go-to to immunize the entire operation. And here's the point. I'm going to say, I don't know all this, but we can't tell either, and you're likely not going to know, and there's not going to be a remedy to that. And this became a different type of discussion about the lack of remedy, and where that means the people have to go. The word was distasteful as that's going to be. Why we need to be real certain about how this has been usurped on us, and identify either they stop it, we unite to say we come together mutually to assert one voice. You pull all this back, you remove all of this, or else we'll take it as the action of a usurpation, contrary to the law. In other words, you couldn't take and allow a fraud, the declaration, mere declaration of a state secret, to be one if it was fraudulent. But I suggested to you way back in 2009 or so, when they monetized toxic debt, so your military is now monetized by this fraud, that everything, they've legalized fraud. And you've watched that roll out. You've watched it seemingly having no remedy. This is one of the things I put in my mind that's a bit concerning, especially when I see crickets, and I know we have to be responding to this. And this came out in a little discussion, started out in the corporate remedy, whether or not we can get rid of corporations, but this actually ties to the government, the establishments of your government, because underneath all this, and the bar and the Supreme Court, is the Bar Association. These are, Supreme Court's not necessarily a bar member, they can distance themselves, but you didn't get there unless you were a bar member touting the provisions of the Bar Association. And this is where we see, we get back directly to sustainable development, right, directly into the agendas. Their own statements say that. Their own members agree to that. The default judgment that I was able to work to get through the Jefferson Mining District, they admitted to it. So these are not questions to me about this. But the how do you get rid of these corporations now that are doing wrong? Again, how do you defeat the public-private partnershiping thing? That was part of our lawsuit as well. That's part of sustainability. How do you defeat what we would define that Mussolini picked up from somebody else and define as fascism, the work between corporation and the government? This is the overthrow of the Bar Association, bringing and imposing the Model Business Corporation Act into states. And I think there's like 26 that overt, if you know where to look, they actually tell us that. They supplanted the permanent laws of the people. So this is an ongoing thing. We got into a discussion. Gary L. made an observation on somebody. I won't really go through too much of it. It's a little bit to say, but I want to point out this thing relative to continuity of government, because it starts to move through, integrates a lot of this, why we're seeing what we are. And I was looking, how do you take out a corporation that's doing wrong in the society? We've been looking for a remedy to that. They got rid of that. That went away about the time the Model Corporation Business Act got put in, because at that point we also noticed that it was now the obligation of this of the corporation to make profit for its shareholders. And as I did an analysis in one state, they transitioned foreign law statute to be domestic code, and then they supplanted that foreign code for the domestic code and usurped the permanent laws of the people. They did it all in one act. They did it behind the scenes. And so you can see it in the enactments. They actually did it that way, but I guess it's arguable that was lawful. This is how we get from where it was de jure into corporate Model Business Act. But the point is, all this pulls together. When you see that they're supporting the corporation of the bar has its members everywhere in your judiciary, and then its agents and its law schools and all, this comes together to look at what am I talking about before was this equity of jurisdiction. The Supreme Court has to supposed to deal in that anyway. And to throw out the fact of a potential fraud in an assertion, the colorable assertion of a state secret, without looking at it or remanding to be looked at and validated, find a judge that's going to have the security clearances enough to look into it, and then we have to trust that, I guess, at the bottom of that. But I had made a comment that relative to the frustration of looking for a remedy to another place for the people to do something, we certainly want to avoid the Second Amendment. It's not a guarantee. It's our right, but the people are not united. Maybe not taking everybody, but I see lots of talk. But we're kind of drunk on our own egos in some regard. We don't really understand the basics as I see it. I wrote about that back in 1999 before this thing came into 9/11. That we were running into a future that was, we were drunk on our what we thought was our power. We don't even know how to wield it. We're just drunk. We're just kind of delusional. So I just want to point out here, in my response to this thing, that we have now SCOTUS looks like they would not look at a fraud, potential fraud. But the potential of the fraud, maybe it is a state secret. Maybe it is protectable. But if it's a fraud being covered by that, no, that's not supposed to be done. There's supposed to be a presumption. There's supposed to be an immediate intercession by the judiciary. And when you don't see that, it's an evidence in something. So I say, because of the SCOTUS failure in the prior case here to not hear this challenge based on simply national security, state secret protection blanket. And then this Tulis case I've been telling you about, where if you look at that record, you can see the complete destruction, absolute destruction of equity jurisprudence, totally. And that case is now looking at a writ request before the federal Supreme Court now, whether or not it's going to take this up. That's not looking good because of what this other case shows us. However, you can see in the evidence that the equity jurisdiction being destroyed in another state, the request of the federal judiciary to oversee, do you allow that where you have a deprivation of fundamental rights? We want to see now whether the federal Supreme Court's tied in to allow states to destroy equity. And we're just proving, it takes a while to prove we don't have remedies, I guess is the whole point. I'm hoping someday in the future, minds and people and bodies and spirits are together to take all this together, and we use it as a foundation to go against it. But I say, where SCOTUS failed to hear the Wikimedia case on a cover, blanket cover, color of law of state security, and remember, the federal rights are protected if a state comes under color of law to deny you. That's how the courts get the jurisdiction. A color of law, a color of a state secret is a law, if you will, an authority to allow them to cover and decline. And where I see in the Tulis case a complete destruction of equity, do this. Are we watching the judiciary complicit with a support of a continuity of government condition, which is a state secret? And they're ordered not to allow it to sit. Now, with these conditions, we have the Wikimedia being decoded. That's your Wikipedia company that puts the Wikipedia. And the destruction of equity, where Tulis is not going to be given a writ of certiorari to review an issue where this jurisprudence of equity was destroyed to allow the fundamental rights infringement that's supposed to be held inviolate. Are we developing the information here to develop what could be the view that we're under action? We've been under this continuity government problem, and why all of us are looking around seeing it's gone so nuts, and why they allow it to go nuts. The occupier wants it to be unstable. That's how it works. They want this cognitive warfare question always on us. That's part of why I was reading, why it became important to start reading that on Sound Mind's inspiration of looking back since 2019. And saying, hey, all this, what I've been talking about is right here, and here it is again. And here's some specific terms we can now see. And I started to highlight those for you so that you can go quickly to go through this. Came up again, moving back out of what's happening, but sticking with the military and what's going on, and the operations against our mind, the warfare, the information warfare, to keep us unsettled, to continue to be able to, remember, the military is supposed to be subordinate to the civil. What you're noticing, very carefully, you notice that the orders are given through the civil to give the military power. That should never happen. Not on these fabrications. And certainly why I keep pointing out, non-fraudulent exigencies are supposed to be developed, not presumptive emergency. And Covey Swindle allowed us to look directly at that, without question, where other areas are a little bit more hard to see. That was pretty clear. That we move into now what the military is doing over in the ocean, the thing that's really threatening, a potential threat of the globe, the world. The world is under potential threat here. A misstep will cause wrongs that I will actually bring on the agenda's depopulation condition if we're not careful. NATO blasted for comparing Ukraine conflicts to Star Wars and Harry Potter. So we have a mentality of resistance here to this nonsensical use of movie characters. The Twitter thread likening warfare to movie classics has backfired on U.S.-led military bloc. The NATO produced a bizarre Twitter thread on Thursday in which an ongoing hostilities between Ukraine and Russia were likened to pop fiction sagas such as Harry Potter and Star Wars. The thread posted on the official Twitter account of the military bloc highlighted an interview of Ukrainian soldier that was released a week ago. The tweets included quotes from articles accompanied by an assortment of wartime photos, including an ill-fated quote, "We are Harry Potter and William Wallace and Na'vi and Han Solo. We're escaping from Shawshank and blowing up the Death Star. We are fighting with Harkonnens and challenging Thanos," the serviceman said. So this is the attempt, and it failed. Good, and I'm glad to hear it. But this is the attempt of, again, NATO moving this along and trying to extend itself in to get the favor. You're watching the operation to gain favor from people. They need to somehow utilize technique. This was incorrectly done. I'm glad it was, but there's more subtle ways to do it. You see in this that this is not real. In other words, this is a setup. This is a joke to these people that they think they can do this. They're not taking it serious. The serious part is that they're looking for ways to undermine your ability to perceive what's going on. This is an obvious one. So don't believe, oh, I see this and I was offended. I'm not offended. I've laughed at it, actually, that that's the answer. They are testing your perception. They took note of how this thing didn't fly. They're likely not going to do this one again. But they understand that there's others that flew, and they probably are still using those. Interesting how, again, perception management is going on. They're attempting, it's ongoing. NATO's doing it. Again, the United States. Just, when you hear NATO, just say the United States. There's no distinction. And upon this NATO thing, and I was pointing out this Seymour Hersh's report of the United States done it, and I was pointing out last week that given the United States' preeminence in NATO, they would have wanted to find out. They should have taken the lead in an investigation, and if they were too closely conflicted, they should have assigned it to someone to find out who did it, who attacked Germany, who attacked one of the partners, who attacked the EU. We saw none of them. But it was an interesting statement came up. POTUS, President of the United States, is a terrorist or a journalist is a fraud. Why doesn't anyone want to find out which is true? Pretty straight up to me. I thought, okay, if we don't know either side, then we give the presumption of innocence to both in this case because it's so serious. This is World War III type stuff, given the parties go there. This is serious stuff. Corporate ownership of media outlets and consolidation have deteriorated to the quality of reporting in numerous ways, accelerating access journalism, gutting the local news and investigative reporting, and decreasing willingness to take chances or to invest in projects without a quick return on investment. And one man steps up. He's an old school dude. And so we see he throws the boulder into the bathtub. And we saw what happens. They talk about Seymour Hersh. He goes through, and this author, Ted Rall, explains the condition. You can go see it in a nutshell, what's going on. But he asks that important question at the end. I'm either looking at a terrorist president of the United States. As I said, the United States is a terror organization. They say terror is out there. They foment it by forcing and supporting terror under the color that they're not, under a national security interest. Either we have a terrorist in the president of the United States, or we have a fraud for a journalist. Needs to be investigated. Because the answer to that is, I don't know how much more important that answer actually is. We're beyond, in a way, we're beyond politics here. How do I say that? Why can I say that? The agenda is politics. They want to change the way you make your living in the world. They want to change the dynamic of the power structures. That's why it's important in the beginning. But who's running this thing? Maybe they're both terrorists. Maybe they're both frauds. That inquiry, an interesting statement here. We either have a terrorist for a president or we have a journalist for a fraud for a journalist. That answer is important to get resolved. Because the United States military is not something you want being the thug in the world. And I think that is coming out. We see that NATO, again, attached to the EU, and we see now this now commingling between NATO interests and European Union interests, being spoken of against Russia. Russia seems, in my mind at this point, it's been exonerated to have any cause, any participation in that gas lines, the destruction. All the NATO and European Union just saying that it wasn't Russia. And so here we have a victim relative to their economics and victims relative to their infrastructure. Their property got destroyed. The United States doesn't want to come up with it. But we now have the question, is if the United States is involved, he's a terrorist. He ordered it. Putin, in conjunction with all these so-called partners, Putin must turn 360 degrees, German foreign minister says. Russia's former president has ridiculed Annalena Baerbock's grasp of geometry. Russian President Vladimir Putin must change by 360 degrees in order for Ukraine to be safe, German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock told Munich Security Council. In other words, foreign Russian President Dmitry Medvedev pointed out, he must continue doing exactly what he is doing. The point, this foreign minister makes such a ludicrous and childish, absurd statement that someone, a nation, must turn 360 degrees, didn't filter out to be wrong, is in charge of a nation's representation on the European Union and NATO side, should throw up some alarm bells of the type of people that are looking at things and making decisions on what should go on relative to Ukraine and actually what they're doing against Russia. When I say we're close to a problem, an irreversible problem, nuclear war, for instance, we see these discussions. People better take note. We're not even seeing people with a brain in their head that are working on the front line of this. And Russia sees that, and I keep telling you, watch what Russia, how Russia responds to this. Put your mind in a more diplomatic sense. When these people say this, it means something. And other nations are watching now. And the fear, I think, is gone. I've been telling you this for many, many, many months now. Well, last year, when it started. It's done. It's over. The United States does not have its preeminence. It's an embarrassment. And more, it's a threat. It's a deadly threat. But people are not afraid. People, I'm talking the nations, are not afraid. They're willing, they've been preparing, they're willing to defend themselves. You're going to see that now as we go through. That Russia blames U.S. for Nord Stream blast threatens consequences. And this is where you start to go. There's no communication. You start watching the deeds of somebody. You watch who they're involved with, and you realize the threat against you, and you have to then defend yourself. And I would challenge anybody to count, if they intend to counter what I'm saying here, put yourself in these positions where you live, reduce the scale of what might be happening to a confrontation with a group of people, a crowd of people out your on your front door, or your neighbors that have gone nuts or whatever, the zombie apocalypse, however stupid you want to go there to be. Put yourself in a mindset of you being aggressed against. It's being denied that you're being aggressed against. Do you just stand there and let it happen? Or do you start to do stuff? Do you start preparing? Do you start giving your notice to people to say, you need to stop? Because that's what we do in civilized, if I say civilized society. We give notice to stop first before we lash out. And if it not be lashing out, it's in self-defense. And you'll see that. You can go down to your how to properly use your self-defense appliance. You have to have that reason. It has to be recognized to be the reason recognized by the system to use your self-defense appliance in defense of yourself. And I've talked about this years and years and years ago about a miner who tried to defend himself on a mining claim. He was aggressed, trespassed against. The guy grabbed his shotgun. The guy was drunk, grabbed his shotgun, pulled on the shotgun, and the shotgun went off because the miner's fingers were on the trigger, and it shot the aggressor's arm off. That miner, because he wouldn't go in and give the reason why he had to defend himself, and that's the requirement. You have to give the notice of how you were right to do what you did. That's the requirement. When you didn't do that, he went to jail. And this is what, so Russia knows this. This is a simple thing. They are setting up the parameters. Once it flips over, and now they have to say, I've got a whole crowd of people going to torch my place. I'm going to have to warn them, and I'm going to have to tell them what the consequences are. That's what your law is. Your law is, if you do this, here's the penalty. That's all that is. Russia blamed the United States for the explosion that damaged the Nord Stream pipelines and warned a response from Moscow after an American investigative journalist published an article alleging Biden administration had attacked the gas transportation network. There's your transportation. It's in gas. It was economics. It's not supposed to be attacked. Our assumption was that U.S. and several NATO allies were involved in the disgusting crime, Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov told reporters on Moscow on Thursday, saying the report by Seymour Hersh wasn't a surprise for Russia. Ryabkov threatened unspecific consequences. Let's end it there. We can read more. This is building the tension. They may be correctly so because of what's going on. Evidence of U.S. guilt for Nord Stream more than a smoking gun. This from now Russia themselves in the UN The destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines was an act of intentional terrorism. Remember the question, do we have a POTUS terrorist or do we have a journalist fraud? Remember that. That's what is the center of all this start to come, and Russia took note of this. And they can't, the fraud of a journalist is not the danger against Russia. They are not going to stand flat-footed. They're going to prepare now. The destruction of Nord Stream pipelines was an act of international terrorism and needs to be addressed to avoid chaos on the high seas. Moscow ambassador to the UN, Vasily Nebenzia, told the United Security Council, the United Nations UN Security Council on Tuesday. Russia has accused Germany, Sweden, and Denmark of a cover-up to shield the United States and said that it only trusts the UN investigation. Now, I have trouble with Russia, what they do, how long it takes them to come around to do certain things that look pretty clear to me that need to be done. But that's their stance. They are telling people chaos will ensue. What is that chaos? Underwater everything becomes a military target. Yeah, you want to start to watch how that interferes with everything we do in the world? You think a pipeline between Russia and Germany was a nothing? Russia's telling everybody, everything is on the table underwater. Then they limit it to that, too. Chaos will ensue in response to what the NATO is doing, what looks to be a terrorism. And until that, again, as I said, until that gets answered one way or the other, they are going to step up and they're going to protect them. They're going to go to the highest level. As I've told you, I work on the most negative condition. I prepare, I write to, I enforce the for, I defend from the most negative condition, and I'll take anything less because I've got it all mostly set up. And that's how I address all these things against the government. That when you start to see it's completely a terrorist, completely outside of the limitations that were put on them, you don't know what you're dealing with. You better gear up quick. And Russia's doing exactly that. This has nothing to do. I don't know what the equities between these places are. That's up to the nations to decide. But when you see actions, Lieberkote says they don't have to tell you that they're at war with you. You just watch what they do. Russia's responding that way, and they are telling the world chaos will ensue if nothing gets solved with this. And this, I'll just say, that's from likely a military perspective. Everything becomes, like the communication lines, more communication transportation, more gas, more energy, everything, the internet, the power, whatever's out there is going to be potentially subject. And so as Russia protects itself from this arbitrary, capricious activity on EU and NATO, again, NATO is the U.S., calling Crimea legitimate targets for strikes shows U.S. as an instigator of tensions. Again, look at what someone who's being forced to have to deal with it is answering, looking and determining. That point, the West, the EU, NATO has no say on when you get someone else to start to believe something in their, what they believe is in a self-defense condition. It's like you hear a cop, well, I feared for my life. Put that, go ahead and attribute that view to Russia. They're feared for their existence. It's on record. You know them when you see them. Someone said that Crimea was a legitimate target, they're going to go ahead and protect up. You don't there's nothing to negotiate at this point. And this starts raising the potential problems. The recent statement of the U.S. Under Secretary of State and Political Affairs, Victoria F. the EU Nuland, that labeled Crimea as a legitimate target of Ukrainian strikes underscores the depth of disagreement between the United States and Russia, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said on Sunday. It's way deeper than that. This is a direct attack statement from the United States. This once again highlights the depth of disagreement and demonstrates, I think, the role of the United States as the main instigator of the international tensions that we have. They also said there was international terrorists. So start putting all this together. This is not inconsequential stuff going on. I don't know where it goes. I don't know what the ultimate... If they're trying to divide the world, to reconstruct the world, to put the new world order on, they're doing it. I just tell you that's one outcome. Whether they go to the nuclear stuff, I don't know. Whether they continued ongoing battles, I'm not so sure. It's going to be ongoing for quite a while. We're hearing that in Transnistria now. The Ukraine's now focusing attention on that little sliver breakaway place next to Moldova. And Russia may be standing flatfoot. They knew that was coming. When they didn't go to Odessa, I'm thinking myself, if I'm that country, why'd you stop and not go to Odessa? You don't have a direct line to Transnistria. Well, that's coming to roost now for Russia. Again, it's an ongoing attack in different angles. Again, NATO, I can't believe Ukraine's pushing anything here. They're just the puppet, not a proxy. They de facto, NATO is involved. Ukraine is NATO. The recent statements of the U.S. Secretary of State, this is the sick mindset. This is an insane mindset in these people that have come back from 2014. And Russia's not, they're done with it. I'm just saying, folks, they're done with it. Nothing really is going to work here. And Putin is starting to act in that regard. There is not going to be constraints. Any constraints and the resort to a sovereign self-defense position without constraints is developing itself. Putin suspends the START nuclear treaty and puts missiles on combat readiness. In a much anticipated speech on Tuesday, President Vladimir Putin said he is suspending Russia's participation in the new START START nuclear treaty with the United States. I have to also tell you, when looking at the speech, I didn't hear it, looking at reports of it, his speech came back highly regarded. In other words, he has a lot of support. And this is bringing and coalescing his power, what the military is doing, their construction of their protection. And what he says here in this speech is important in the little bits I've heard and read. They are going to protect themselves, and it's because of their history. As I told you early on last year, this is the anniversary, just past the anniversary now, that thing is starting. They're going to protect their culture, they're going to protect their history, and most importantly, they're going to protect their future. That's their little ones. But when you see how they're doing it, and it brings the United States into an embarrassment, what Russia's now doing to protect itself relative to what the United States government's allowing to happen to its people. Sad day. And we the people are sitting by and doing not much about it. So Putin removes one of the bigger problems of restraint on nuclear weapons. In other words, there's not going to be, and they're rearming now, to give themselves a better defensive posturing, as I understand what they're going to do. I don't see, he's not ever said that they were going to attack with nuclear weapons. It'll be a response with nuclear weapons. There is no limit now. They're going to be coming out likely with other weapons that they've been likely developing, even more advanced. And what I've read, the United States military understands they cannot defend against certain things. And so some of you out there may see the white glow for a bit. And remember, duck and cover. Remember what they said in New York. Remember what the WHO, the World Hoax Organization, not the Rock Group or the Owl, or the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization, now the World Hoax Organization, Endless Disease. They say start gearing up with extra nuclear medicines. Now, could be drumbeats of, again, get us all broken down. The reality is that Russia's not taking it. This is not a joke to Russia. This is not a fairy tale to Russia. Russia will protect its children from Western-style spiritual degradation, degeneration, Putin says. So we have it right out of the mouth of the people that are on the front line of this. They are threatened. They do not like what they see in the world. They have decided they're going to separate themselves. I think that's an interesting example for all of us in the United States. While the United States government and the state governments, relative to Comey swindle, disrespected y'all and bring you into servitude and bring on the destruction and degradation of your lifestyle in many areas. They at least don't allow you anymore to make that decision for you. And as I say that, my mind goes to lots of people saying I should have the right to medical determination that I do. Well, if you go look at the law, you do. And it's statements like that bother me, because you wouldn't make that statement
You would have already asserted that right, and it wouldn't be a question if you understood what the law was, and we would have shut that whole thing down. And that would have been, done a large part to stop, I think, what we're seeing here across the pond. But once you get that official limitation formalized and not run down, then you have more power. As I say, you start running the people, run with the power some more. But the president made the comments of the course of the Tuesday's address to the Federal Assembly, his speech to lawmakers, which focused on the crisis and ties between Moscow and the West and the ongoing Russian-NATO proxy conflict in Ukraine. Again, it's a direct, I don't see it a proxy. It's directly, they're talking direct war here. The Ukraine is being used as a false cover. It was never something that was supposed to be engaged as a sovereignty. It is de facto already NATO. It is an economic attack that's going on. That is not supposed to happen at all under international law at all. The West is waging an aggressive information and culture war against Russia, and Moscow cannot allow its young people to fall victim to the kind of spiritual degradation and degeneration that has already befallen many Western countries, President Vladimir Putin has said. I'll stop there. Look very carefully. They understand, as I've been talking, cognitive warfare, information warfare. He states that the West is waging aggressive information and culture war. Cancel culture. They want to cancel the Russian culture. That you're living in it in the United States. That's your life. That's your existence. As I said, what you think you see across the way somewhere is a carnival mirror reflecting on your life. They're taking it serious. I'm asking us to take it serious in the United States. In any of the rule of law and democracy brand of occupied territories. U.S. dollar to lose a global dominance. He also pointed out, like I said, what Putin said in this speech was fairly encompassing and well-regarded, and I think in looking at some of the news on it, I think fairly accurate and telltale of what the nations are doing to protect itself and call out the United States. They're not afraid anymore. Fear is gone. This is the important thing. They don't live in fear. They don't like what they're going to face. They don't want to go to war, but they're not going to be afraid to go to protect themselves. The Russian president says Moscow will cooperate with its partners to develop a safe system of international settlements. Reaffirming in the speech, they're not backing off on making their own partnership in the world, which, as I've talked about before, is going to be more population and coming up population as well than the West. And we're watching a big shift. I'm not going to predict how this works, but it doesn't look good for the West, especially when the dollar doesn't have its reserve currency status or is not regarded as such because it's not being used, as I've talked about. So Putin is laying it out for us what their future is about, and that has a reflection on us. We can't just turn away from that. Why? Because it is what they say, that we have a terrorist for a president. We are in some serious trouble as a people. In fact, I think Putin doesn't allay any harm, doesn't allay any cause for us. It's like we're helpless. We're along for the ride. Embarrassingly so to see that, but they certainly see the government as the problem. Maybe we should too. EU in urgent war mode, top diplomat says. So now we have NATO moving into the European Union. As I said, these are really not separate, even though last week we heard there's a bit of separation. Joseph Borrell claims the war in Ukraine will be over unless Bloc resolves the ammunition shortage. This is a very interesting thing coming on. And I wondered about why would you wage a war? Why would the United States even press the war when they can't even produce the amount of ammunition in order to fight the war? Either is a total insanity, total loss of reality, or it's a plan. And there is no real future for the EU, as they warn about this. And they're talking in the sense that the war will be over, in that they want to continue this war if they have enough ammunition. The European Union now, the European nations now, not NATO, foreign chief policy chief Joseph Borrell, has called for more weapons for Ukraine and faster shipment of ammunition. His words come amid Western promises of new armaments deliveries to Kiev and growing shortages of his bloc's own stocks. We are in urgent war mode. Well, you don't say that as the European Union to Russia, folks. Because I've been telling you, that's been going on behind the scenes. They're now declaring war. They know they're at war, regardless of the statements to the contrary everywhere else. You don't make ammunition to go dump it in the ocean. And they are, I'm astonished at how much ammunition is being fired. 5,000 to 6,000 rounds a day, they're saying, in the Ukraine, and 5,000 to 60,000 from Russia. If you think Russia's not coming at it, except they do have supply chain logistics, and we see some of that coming up. And we're watching an interesting, again, I don't understand Russia on how it fights wars, but interesting failures that are now being, they're now coming up to solve them. But you don't run out of ammunition, yet Russia seems to, they're not out of ammunition, they're just not choosing to give it to where they need to go. And there's been some backlash amongst the fighters. But the EU's energy war with Russia is not over either. So not only we see they're at war militarily, EU, again, the European countries in the Union of Countries, by Fatih Birol saying it's an energy war. Well, this harkens back to what the United States wanted. So we're watching the United States West view of the overthrow of the EU here in their admission. There was an energy war. Well, that wasn't an energy war before the pipelines were blown up. It wasn't an energy war before they started into making the excuse of Ukraine. They had it all worked out. The people of the Europe weren't suffering or threatened to be suffering or in the future to suffer. The diminishment as per the agenda, the global agenda of austerity and scarcity. Yeah, EU's energy war with Russia is not over. Bloc has to continue diversifying supplies. Yeah, to where? From the United States. But the point is, they've admitted now they're in war. They're in multiple styles of war. They're in economic wars here, and then they're military wars. And this is coming from the nations of the Union, not just NATO. But Russia's looking at that. Ukrainian FM dodges question on strikes deep into Russia. Russia's looking at this. Kyiv can guarantee it will use long-range weapons to liberate the territories it claims, Dmitry Kuleba says. What got me on this whole story, reading down, and it's, he makes this statement, we're using weapons which we receive from partners to strike Russia in the occupied territories of Ukraine. Okay, I guess we've heard this story before, but the word partners took on a whole new realm of interpretation. Again, just on the point of liability, speaking back through this fiction that the United States is not involved, that it's not liable to what it allows and what it pays to do, and all these nations are not liable, that Russia's looking at. It's a principle in law. It'd be international principle in law that came up in a court case. Kind of an innocuous little court case, you wouldn't think much about it, but when I saw the word partners, and everyone's denying that Ukraine is more than its own fighting, its own is not, we're not using it to go through, we're not liable for what we do to help Ukraine, to aid and abet it in its defense of its democracy, again, all these quotes around these words. This court case in the United States pops up in the same time to show us this word partners is very interesting. And I wanted to offer that if you see it, maybe you have an extended deep pocket situation where partners can be held liable even though they are not necessarily even active in it. A U.S. court case says bankruptcy can't nix debts or other frauds. So we bring up the fraud thing. Fraud can't be used to negate an obligation. And what we see here, this is a concurring opinion, a statement, Justice Sotomayor, in a concurring opinion, in this case, joined by a fellow liberal justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson, noted the ruling's limits, as it did not address when a debtor was not a fraudster's agent or partner. And this was denounced because it's clear in this situation that, well, in this case, a husband and wife were in a partnership, in a business partnership, and were also married. And the husband defrauded a seller, a buyer, excuse me, of the property they were improving and selling. And in this paragraph, Kate and David Bartenwerfer, who were business partners, in addition to being married, bought the house that they were said that they improved in 2005 with the intention of flipping it. David Bartenwerfer took charge of the project while Kate was largely uninvolved. This court says that Kate, who was trying to use bankruptcy to avoid, it's now $1 million judgment against her or so on a suit that the buyer sued them unsuccessfully, she can't use her inattentiveness and in a non-participation to avoid a debt the partnership has acquired. It's no different to my mind than what I hear now. We receive from partners the weapons to strike Russia. There's even a position in law that says you can't use these, even an unparticipating, non-participating partner can escape when there's fraud. Bringing back this whole idea, when we went to fraud, we can address it, but we have to address it. It's not supposed to be able to support anything, and yet we're watching it in the United States of America. It supports everything. That I see these countries, the Ukrainian diplomats saying, well, we have partners. They're doing a fraud on Russia. They're liable internationally as well. And Russia's looking at that. I guess it's all going to get back to that point. But Ukraine was going to continue. The NATO out of Ukraine is going to continue. Ukraine now, a battle of logistics. Information warfare, we're going to turn the tide, turn the conversation a bit. Russia is currently winning the race for ammunition, admitted now that they can't produce enough ammunition. Why'd they get involved in this war anyway? To lose it? Kind of says, yeah, doesn't it? I think the United States set the EU up. Pity the EU. Maybe not long. They agreed. They can stop it. They're not helpless. Just like you're not helpless. With the conflict of Ukraine becoming a war of attrition, they're claiming here, perception management, like Russia's going to run out. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg cautioned the West should not underestimate Russia's firepower or advantage. Maybe they should have done that before they started all this fraud, nonsense. Stoltenberg claimed that the Western bloc is stepping up ammo production, but was unable to define its end goal in Ukraine. Russia's taking notice of that. When you look at some insane invader, some horde coming in at you, what are you going to do to not protect yourself now? And now you know that they're having a trouble supplying the ammo. Russia knows they don't have a problem. They have a logistics problem, Norwell, and that's interesting that NATO brings this up. Russia somehow, for some reason, has decided just up until this last week, it was somehow going to not supply the ammunition that its front lines needed. Now, that's changed. But it took embarrassment of the military command, I think, to get that to happen. That NATO is saying, no, we do have an ammunition store. We can't produce enough. Now, what country goes into a war knowing it can't defend itself is the insanity of this whole thing. And we get back to Stoltenberg. Who is he? Well, was he from Norway? He's been the head of this thing. He's been a lapdog for the United States forever. And Russia's taking notice. What do you do when you have this sort of an insanity? It's almost like you're just signing off on your victory. Russia just needs to persist now, it seems. They think that we're Han Solo. We're going to destroy the Death Star, send more ammunition. It's not playing out that way. But they're making admissions. And the world is taking stock. And the world now, more importantly to my mind, and part of the reason for this line of tabs and going through all this, is to show you what nations, and if you take them as examples, forget all the politics about who they are, whether you agree with them and all that. What are nations under their sovereign capacity to protect themselves as an individual, if you will? Someone defending themselves and all their sovereign capacity to do so. What are they doing? What are they acknowledging? What are they saying? What's the information they're sending? What's the notice they're giving to the world? Explains a bit about how the mindset of the nations have changed completely in a year or two relative to the economic factors, the money, what Putin is pointing out to everybody. Other nations are believing and doing the same types of things their way, but in the same subject matter. China says this to NATO. Stop being a troublemaker. Now, that's not the statement of a nation that's afraid. It's a statement of a nation that's decided enough is enough is enough. I'm going to call you out. This is where we start to see more exampling to us, we the people, they're supposed to be in control of our futures in a nation, government of a nation that was limited in its ability to doing things. It certainly wasn't supposed to go as stupid as it is now, STOOPID for the sensitive hearing there. Beijing envoy, the UN blames the Ukraine crisis on the U.S. bloc's constant eastward expansion. Working on the NATO's own statement, it wouldn't move an inch eastward. China speaking at all is an interesting thing in my mind in the way that it's doing that here. The main reason for Europe's current security plight is nations' insistence on pursuing of absolute security and its political exclusion of specific countries. China's ambassador to the United Nations, Zhang Jun, has claimed. Says that NATO's continued expansion toward the east and urged the United States-led military bloc to abandon its Cold War mentality and to stop being a troublemaker. He also pointed out NATO's self-contradictory behavior, where it promotes itself as a defensive alliance while at the same time constantly seeking to, quote, breach its geographic confines and expand its agenda, stoke division and tensions, creates fears and confrontations, close quote. Just what I've been reporting in the last few weeks is going on. China's not getting it. They see it too. But here's the important point again. I'll say it one more time. Enough is enough. They're not afraid to speak. There's nothing the United States, they've looked in the future that they believe they can see, and they don't see the United States being a threat. If the United States becomes a threat, it becomes a thug. It's denouncing it now. It's also speaking around Taiwan. This is kind of backtracking over there as well. I talked about the NATO expansion beyond its own confines. He just said it right here this week. But the countries are not, they're not going to take it anymore. I think the people of the United States and what we're watching in the United States politically, the division of the peoples needs to heal real quick. And we need to stop what even Putin sees as the government is a contrary to its own people. There are just certain basic principles that people need to live by. And we're not doing that as a nation. Russia's going to reassert theirs. They're not going to take any slight anymore either. Lots of nations are stepping up. The African nations are actually kind of a surprise. They're finally stepping up. You're watching a wholesale throwing off of any kind of worry, if you will. They're concerned. They don't want to go to war. They don't want to go to battle with the United States, but they're not afraid anymore. Xi Jinping, likely to visit Russia as Putin wages war against Ukraine. After Antony Blinken went over and discussed it with China, said there's going to be consequences if you continue to support Russia. The very thing, first thing that the Chinese did was plan to go to see Russia, have a talk with them. There's no fear right now, folks. There shouldn't be, actually. But what I'm saying is that there used to be. It's gone. We really have to put that in our calculator as to what it does in the world, the dynamic it sets up, and that maybe that's an example for a free people to assert with the right to alter and abolish, not necessarily go to war, but we have to say enough is enough. We're watching people in other lands doing the American way internationally. Xi Jinping plans Russia visit once to play more of an active role in ending Kiev war. Don't know actually how much that is. That's more information warfare. They want to look like the peacemaker like France did, Macron. This is all part of the international sphere like Israel tries to do, but they're part of it essentially. Their own oxymoron, their own hypocrisy going on there. That was hypocrisy. This is a democracy. It's A-C-Y. Yeah, hypocrisy. This is a different type of government. This is a different type of government control. It's a hypocrisy. It's an hypocrisy. the word is out that people are wanting to stop the war outside of the United States, NATO, and EU. They want to play a part. They're all trying to show that they're peacemakers. Main point to my mind there, they're not afraid. They are telling you, the nation and the United States and the EU, they are going to do what they need to do. Again, it should be a reflection for the people of the United States. There's an extent to which you don't go. And when you go over that, somebody needs to step up and stop that part from encroaching or stop it all and entirely. Biden administration, another direction now, in where it oversteps its bounds or appears to try or state it might. A reflection to us, they're telling us they're doing stuff to attack us. And they don't care that they don't, that they're doing that. And they have no regard to stay within the confines of the United States rule. Biden administration negotiates a deal to give the WHO, the World Hoax Organization, authority over U.S. pandemic policy. Now, this has been a story going on for quite a few months. I've been offering that there's maybe a place to start telling your representatives what the real law is supposed to be. The new International Health Accord avoids necessary Senate approval. And when you start watching this and you start seeing how they did this, you start to understand the illegitimacy of what's going on, and the people that are in power to make the say are running an agenda that's contrary to the United States. They're causing treason. They're committing treason when they set up premeditatedly to get around certain requirements of Senate approval. But that's a lie, because I'm not sure, and I make this comment in a tweet that you'll get, I'm not sure how the Senate even has the ability. There's a, some senator has a bill before the Senate that they got to get Senate approval for a WHO agreement. They called it an accord here. That's not a treaty. So be careful all these words, how this thing works through. But there's a, how the Senate can actually even oversee a treaty that has within its provisions a rewriting of the federalism established in the reservation that they've, the United States has already done in IHR, International Health Regulation 2005. That reservation I talked about was all important. How the Senate can actually hear a, make a law that says they have the right to look at a treaty that violates the federalism condition that's already reserved, I don't even know. So there's two problems in this story. Not only does it not look like there's any way for the treaty to overwhelm the Constitution, and I say, and if you look carefully, then that accord actually brings that up, that it can't. So in some regard, this is a little bit of a setup that needs to be pointed out so that we don't get what the problem is. They start acting in what appears to be the law and the color of its enforcement as a presumption, and then have to have you fight that it's not valid. It's going to be worth a little bit of effort right here to show that it cannot be legally binding, that the president executive-wise can't move to act and has no power to act on the treaty. But these are usurpations ahead of the time that the United States federal government has no jurisdiction. But it's on the table, folks. Contact your representative, contact your senator, ask the senators how they have authority to even entertain this. Why don't they denounce that up front? I ask in a Twitter, responding to somebody else, I don't get really any more response, not even as a discussion. It'd be nice maybe to get some of that, even to work out. Where am I wrong here? I don't know. I don't know. What I've read says I'm not wrong, but maybe that's the problem too. Once the truth is stated, there's nothing more to be stated behind it. If I'm saying the truth, then why am I not getting responses from the representatives, senators, and all these officials that tend to want to bring on the idea that, oh, politically Biden is doing something, that some group is out there representing the United States that can do this stuff? That's a waste of money. First of all, probably misappropriation of funds. Why don't we attack that too? What constitutional power does the Senate have to approve a treaty breaching exclusive state public health regulatory authority, the existence and prevailing nature already acknowledged in the IHR 2005, U.S. Reservation, page 60, to be, quote, consistent with the fundamental principles of federalism, close quote, that a senator has the right to put a bill that the WHO treaty doesn't go through unless the Senate agrees? How can the Senate agree? Now, what's the point if they can't do anything that can violate it? Just leave the states alone. But there's an answer to all this, and how I keep telling you how they figured us out. They can offer draft, model draft legislation. And they can get the states to agree. As I said, they're going to adjust. Well, and I think this came from an emailer to give me the heads up of its existence. I think I talked about it before. It was found again years, sometime here recently, again to send back to me about a draft model state emergency health powers act to be released on consideration for consideration by the states. This is how they work underneath what they promote out there is going to be a treaty to get the states to comply without all of that. Then you look and you read this act, and you see this is a collaborative effort to prepare a model state emergency health powers act for the state's acceptance and adoption. My question is, what's wrong with the current mode of action that's already offered by all the legislatures that offers you protection, that doesn't remove the authority of the state official to the preference of a foreign agent, like the CDC itself, or like the WHO? So here's two attacks. One is that they pretend on the outside that they can come after your issue. There's going to be a health treaty. I don't know what it ends up being. Contrary to the law, the Senate has the authority to even consider it. The Biden can even work on it. Misappropriation of public funds to start with. But then the CDC is working behind the scenes in quiet to bring on this legislation for adoption. The adoption is how they take your states out. I'll offer you a list on the Model Act. You can see it. If you read through it, I won't go through the analysis here. You should be able to see how they're subverting the state power that exists now and extending it out to a foreign suggestion. Just as I said they would, it's been in the works. They were doing it local legislatures and trying to bringing in the word pandemic, which can't be done inside the state. Pandemic is a regional, global regional thing that can't, the legislature has no power to even add to their authority confined to a state. And so we see the adulteration and treason that's going on, and the people are silent. And what happens on all this is we start to watch these model draft things going on, and we watch how they brought a presumptive, the administration's, even Trump, brought on a presumptive emergency, which I told you violated every state provision, and actually every communicable disease law globally that violated. Nobody stepped up to argue. No, the jabs are harmful, this and that. Bunch of masks and this and that. Bunch of nonsense. No, the treason happened way before the imposition of all that. But because there was no fight, as I told you, the occupier moves and moves and moves. Now, here's where you're starting to see that the harm coming on made to look like it's law. Understand, anything coming from the CDC at this point is still a recommendation. What they get everyone to do locally at the state level is to adopt it and agree. No one says, wait, whoa, hold it. But tragic, CDC adds original COVID mRNA vaccine to childhood schedule despite known harms. First of all, it doesn't matter about the known harms. The mRNA is not a vaccine. That's the violation of the local communicable disease law. The promotion of this lead given by the Defenders Children Health Defense, it seems to be a crime in itself, even though I'm supportive of the fact that they're telling people. My problem is just that. I watch people are purporting to do good for people to explain things, and they're still not describing it correctly. And we get lulled into things that where we think a senator can pass a law that says that the Senate has to approve the treaty. Of course it's got to approve the treaty, but there's no treaty that can be made. So where is the real problem? And the problem of the representative believing that he needs to make a law to protect against something that doesn't exist. Did I just describe Comey swindle? This is a mindset that goes on. And these are good people. I'm not trying to denounce it. People think I'm attacking them. I'm attacking the fact that you're misthinking. You're not thinking critically. You think you're thinking critically. And I am hope always when I say that, I shudder. I hope I'm thinking critically enough to be able to identify that. It's not about pointing the finger saying you did wrong. It's let's do it right so we don't continue to do what? Harm the little ones. Just what Putin said they're going to protect against. Except Putin's done the same thing on the globalism side, remember? Many games going on here. Very serious stuff. And so our mRNA vaccine, which is not, is being added to your childhood schedule as a suggestion. And so you're going to have to go back to what I've been saying for three or so years now. about how to protect your little ones in the face of this until we get it worked back out. You saw how readily the local officials accepted the wrongful is criminal, the wrongful suggestion of a federal agency and the wrongful suggestion of the World Hoax Organization. They want to put this stuff into your now childhood vaccinations. They're going to, again, they're finding all the markets for this. They're brokers. The WHO is the broker of all, of HARMA, right? Peter Silent. Changes to ECG parameters after BNT162B2 vaccine in the senior high school students. So it's not just your little ones. It's going to be affecting them when they get to high school students as they see cardiac adverse events happening due to these so-called vaccines for this stupid criminal supposed coronavirus. It's actually just a chemical string to produce it's a protein toxin, it's a venom. You can read the story here. This thing is coming down the pike. It's been now the CDC is now promoting that it goes into childhood vaccines, and what it does to high school students is change their heart. We wonder what all this heart problems, die suddenly is about. I could go on and on. There's so much information that's come since last time I talked about this vaccine type thing, the COVID swindle, is just too much. I'm just going to touch some certain things to show you that this agenda is moving and it's not going to stop. It becomes a global push, and they make it look like it's actually lawful and normal and should be happening, and you start losing, as time goes on, the ability to show that you are the correct one. You become the voice in the wilderness, and then they pounce on you finally, ultimately, the little group of people that are left, if you don't kind of start doing this better. Brazil makes mandatory childhood vaccinations a condition of receiving government aid for poor families. Couple of things on this one. First of all, it went not just the CDC. Brazil follows suit. This is global now. Same plan. Then they attached it to receiving government aid. Just what I told you, think about your social credit now. You don't do what you're told, poor families get attacked. And you think you're not poor. Wait till they attack your accounts and you can't get to those. Tell me how fast you think you're not poor. You don't think you're hungry? Wait till you can't go buy the food they now say you have to buy. How's that going to happen? Well, I don't know if I can get to it. It's all happening globally. It's happening in different countries, like some inchworm going along. The countries are a different set of segments on an inchworm, and where it was Australia first put its foot down and showed you how it was going to do the tyranny, and then it pushed forward off of that. The next one to come down was Kyrgyzstan, and that body segment group went down, and now it's pushing forward. You're going to watch the UK now as the new example of what's going on. Brazil makes mandatory childhood vaccinations required if you want government aid. I've told you it's all about government benefit. But you don't think that your life and your food and all that is government benefit. You watch how the government policies cut that stuff out or require you to do certain things. And if you don't have an alternative, you are this future right here. CDC doing that is not a problem. Now they put penalties. CDC doing that seems like it's only the CDC. This is a global agenda. Brazil follows suit, but then attaches the penalty. They can't do that in the United States. And if you understand the distinction, why you have the power, if you know it's there. And this is all done and made valid, even despite the EKGs and the senior students. Pfizer knowingly allowed dangerous components in its vaccines. Part one, an investigation into mRNA quality issues. We heard why those quality issues were. In this case, I don't even know. Here's a doctor talking about how they're focusing you on that they allowed dangerous components. The problem is they were just doing a demonstration, remember. The military was running this through the university. Of course they were going to have different problems because they never had the quality assurance that they needed. And yet this is the kind of vaccines that are being made that your little ones are now supposedly, if you believe it, going to be forced to. In Brazil, likely. Well, not unless you don't have to do it if you're a poor family and you don't need their food. So those of you in Brazil, learn how to grow your food. Learn how to compensate. You have to become self-reliant as best you can. We're watching they're telling us what's coming in the future as it mostly starts to roll down and through and people accept it. Remember, I want to remind you of the Sasha Latipova, COVID-19 countermeasures, evidence of intent to harm. No doubt. They explain who's running it, and they show you the hierarchy. It's not in Brazil. It's in the United States military and underneath the Department of Homeland Security and the military itself. She shows you a little graph on this thing. Oracle Films shows you. I'm going to throw that in because the CDC makes this mandatory, even though these harms are sitting there. There's no quality assurance, and there was never any plan. It's a military op. Well, how did they do that to us? How did they get the people? You got to be careful on how we did it. Why we went after the PCR test. Fraud probe into U.S. drug tester used in custody cases. AverHealth is being sued for parents who were deprived of visitation rights to their kids. Medical fraud. It runs the day until you stop it. Drug testing company AverHealth, whose products were used by the courts to evaluate parents' fitness for custody and their children, is under investigation by the United States Department of Justice for medical fraud. After the fact, the point is we'll go back to the PCR. Medical fraud, folks. That was a tool to persuade you. And my listener may not have been so persuaded. That's not good enough anymore. You see how they move right past you. Even it's coming about homeschooling going to be on the chopping block now from the United Nations. It's now a privilege you need to stop. They need to make inclusivity. So if you think you're out of it, you homeschoolers, you better watch. You better be careful. You watch to know and get ahead of the fact that they're going to try and take that away from you. And you're going to have to resort to some of the techniques and tools I've been talking about. And if you haven't heard it, maybe you can listen back to the archive again. Thank you for those donating to keep that archive flying. But the tests, the drug tests, are fraudulent. Like nothing has a quality assurance at all. As we see, mandatory childhood vaccine schedules for the mRNAs, total biowarfare. Bill Gates, after reaping huge profits selling BioNTech shares, trashes effectiveness of COVID vaccines. Just another element. I just read the title. This is what the guy's been doing all along, actually, if you knew what you were listening for. Where he says, we also need to fix three problems of the COVID-19 vaccines. Again, they're more bioweapons, not vaccines. That's his promotion. The current vaccines are not infection blocking. Oh, that's the first thing they're supposed to do as a vaccine in the communicable disease law. And if you've read it, you know that. You should just be able to have that come right up to the top. They're not broad, so when new variants come up, you lose protection. Number two, control. Violation of the local communicable disease law. They're not vaccines, and they're not part of, they can't be part of the tool bag, the medical bag of the local official, which is supposed to go to your doctor to suggest it, and that's where you have your power between you and your doctor, not the official. And that's only if you decide to be a flaming idiot and want to run through a barn full of hay relative to your contagion you're supposed to be carrying that they proved. And then they have a very short duration, not control. Second, part of the violation of control within the communicable disease law. This defines that it can't be, not only is it can be a vaccine that they call it, and that it can't be in the local health official's suggestion of a treatment to prevent and control. Right in that statement. This guy's a fraud. He's allowed to have air. I don't understand it. People allow this guy to go along, and he essentially an honest thief in a way where he starts his business. But he's not really. He knows how to gain influence, and he gets people to pay for what he's done to give him the money, and then he turns around and invests in the very things that you're going to watch in the future he's going to make money on. And we still see these things. I'm touching briefly on what they're promoting. Why it doesn't all do, it doesn't do everything it's supposed to do. What it does do is all-cause mortality with Dennis R. Rancor, PhD. The people who died were overwhelmingly disabled and extremely poor. Wow, are they trying to get rid of poor people in Brazil? And they were obese, and they had diabetes, and they would normally get a lot of antibiotics. The correlation to the disability and the poverty, it's not to age. So when they're telling us about old folks and young folks, it's not about that. It's those comorbidities that we did get told about that I was trying to rail on a bit. To say, look, this is what they're inciting inside your body, your weaknesses. They find that this thing goes in and attacks the weak link, whether or not it's a neuron a signaling attack or whether it's a blood flow attack. It's really simple in a way. But you interfere with these bodily functions that they're already weak and ready to crack, they crack. Uncommon cold, viral infections linked to dementia, Alzheimer's disease, and a study finds. What's interesting is they go through and they kind of do an interesting analysis on these uncommon colds, these viral infections cause this thing. But when you look very carefully, they say they omitted the corona people that went into the hospital. Well, the databases they looked at, they omitted those that were put in for coronavirus. So we do get that viruses cause these things like dementia and Alzheimer's, or they think that there's a study that shows there's a very high correlation. What they omit to tell you is the causation or the reflection of the correlation for the coronavirus, the numbers of which they cut out from the study. I'd like to know those numbers. Why'd they cut them out? Just as we move our information along for you to look at decisions that are being made, the CDC just made this thing required as a suggested shot sequence. Your doctor's going to adopt it. They get paid for all this stuff. Doctors warn of a deadly fungal outbreak worldwide. The epidemic will not take a break. The epidemic? Well, that's talking about the COVID swindle. The epidemic, but they're mentioning a deadly fungal outbreak. And I suggested to you, this interferes with your immune system. Anything that's in your body that you did or didn't know is going to be invoked. This is now a report on people getting sick and its response to the COVID so-called vaccines, and you get that straight from the horse's mouth. Pfizer, the truth about COVID-19 and black fungus. The novel coronavirus, again, manufactured right there, novel, patented. It's not a coronavirus, though. Has recently been linked to serious fungal infections. Read how that is. Go read how it's connected to COVID-19, explaining exactly what they told about the comorbidity and what that would be due, what you might be looking at. Effects of ivermectin and pulmonary aspergillosis in racing pigeons. I break that up because this is a respiratory disease in birds, and ivermectin interferes with it with another study, new study, how ivermectin kills prostate cell cancers. What's interesting about this is this study shows the mechanism by which ivermectin works. And it's interesting, these viruses and these different pathogens have a very similar biology, if you will, that ivermectin interferes with. That's why they die. And for us, Dr. Zelenko's zinc is the silver bullet. It kills the virus. The only problem is that the bullet doesn't get to the place where it needs. They were commenting about his information was back in 2020 or so. He was talking about ivermectin actually being something. We're talking about using it with hydroxychloroquine. Dr. Vladimir Zelenko got in trouble for doing all this. But remember, this is a concerted effort. He shows you that it's not just the ivermectin. It's that you also had to have the zinc involved. The zinc is what goes in after these things. The ivermectin is what opens up the port to allow the molecule in, as well as using quercetin and some other things. For those of us that are now being imposed and attempting to build our immune systems to resist and be able to fight this prophylactically as well, I guess I'm coming to the end of that. There's a lot more to be talking about there. I hope something I said gives us an awareness, gives us a thing to look out in the world. What's going on, where not to stand, where maybe to go tell our own agents, the representatives, the agents of destruction to not be that. We are wanting to go back to peace and settlement and the law and stop this fraud and stop allowing the fraud and do it up front, not after the fact. It's killing us, it's killing our kids for sure, but they're certainly going to kill our future. Even Putin has a better thought about that. Nope, I've done something here to give you some tools to move in the future. I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips for Nature Web.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Well, that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.